Ronna McDaniel.
Well, she was on Sunday's Meet the Press. It was her first appearance since the NBC and since NBC News hired her as a political analyst. I know you won't be surprised to know that we've been inundated with calls this weekend, as have most people connected with this network, about NBC's decision to hire her. We learned about the hiring when we read about it in the press on Friday. We weren't asked our opinion of the hiring, but if we were, we would have strongly objected to it for several reasons, including, but not limited to, as lawyers might say, Ms. McDaniel's role in Donald Trump's fake elector scheme and her pressuring election officials to not certify election results while Donald Trump was on the phone.
To be clear, we believe NBC News should seek out conservative Republican voices to provide balance in their election coverage. But it should be conservative Republicans, not a person who used her position of power to be an anti-democracy election denier. And we hope NBC will reconsider its decision. It goes without saying that she will not be a guest on Morning Joe in her capacity as a paid contributor.
Did Joe Biden win the election fair and square?
He won. He's the legitimate
president. Did he win
president.
Fair and square?
Fair and square he won. It's certified. It's done.
John, it's not ideology. It's not ideology. There are a lot of conservative Republicans that serve for Donald Trump that I disagree with, but they stood up on January the 6th. They spoke out. I mean, it's this inverted pyramid. And again, taking one for the team, it's such a clarifying statement. You know, one thing I've been struggling with, John, and I know you have too. I've been struggling really, really hard. And Mika will tell you this for years, but especially as we're moving into this new election cycle, on trying to understand a lot of people that I grew up with in the church, a lot of people that I who are unrecognizable now when you talk politics, because I'll tell you, the team, I guess it's how we define the team. For me, the team, it's a pyramid. It's God, country, constitution. For me, conservatism. For others, it's being progressive, it's liberalism, and that's how it goes. Politicians and parties, for me, have always been at the bottom of that list. And for some reason, it's been inverted. So instead of God, country, constitution, conservatism, and then politicians and party, it's been inverted. And now it is Donald Trump.
Personality.
It's Donald Trump. And everything flows from that. So when I guess I shouldn't, when I hear that, I again, it's very clarifying. I guess I shouldn't be staying up trying to figure out what happened to them. This is what happened to them. They completely, their value system flipped, and Donald Trump's on top, and everything that's done goes through that filter, and everything is justified. Everything he does is justified. Political violence is justified. His lifestyle is justified. His hatred is justified. His racism is justified. All the things my friends would have spoken out about when I was growing up, when Bill Clinton was president, when they were so shocked and stunned and deeply saddened by Bill Clinton. Now, the pyramid is flipped. And instead of God on the top and then country and constitution and conservatism, it is Donald Trump. And everything's inverted in the opposite direction. I suppose all in pursuit of power. Shards of glass inside media's 12 splintering realities, though, of course, Jim.
Well,
Jim, perhaps this may be a bit relevant, but it is important to note that you are right. We have so many outlets out there. We've got podcasts. We've got social media often, you know, producing sound and fury that signifies nothing. But it's not just the New York Times, Washington Post, NBC, et cetera, et cetera. You even look at Fox News, who lost a great deal of their audience after the 2020 election for a fairly short while, for simply giving their viewers the election results, for simply saying Joe Biden won. A lot of them left for Newsmax, left for other conservative networks. So it seems that people on the right and the left will find their media outlets, and it's caused this splintering, as you've said.
Yeah, there, no doubt. Like, and you think about it, like, the shattering has been taking place for years, but I think it's fully broken now. And I think a good example is Fox News. 4 years ago, if you kind of wanted to know what Trump thought or what kind of most Republicans who were going to vote thought, you could reliably go to Fox News and that might be it. The truth is, if you really want to know what Trump thinks or what a Trump supporter thinks, you're probably going to go to Steve Bannon's podcast or Charlie Kirk, or go follow the social media feed of Donald Trump Jr., or go to True Social, places that most people, unless you're a real Trumper, you're never going to go. So you're not even going to understand the reality through the prism of where we would have looked at it a couple years ago. Or you just read from a Wall Street Journal conservative editorial page editorial. That used to be where you would figure out what conservatives thought. That's now a very, very slim part of the Republican Party. It's kind of the Mitt Romney part of the party, and more sort of the conventional conservative. And that's just in the political sphere. You could be sitting at a table with a group of people and you might never really interact with their reality. It might be somebody who gets most of their news from an influencer they trust on Instagram. Or you could have a kid to your right who's following people on TikTok that you and I would think are aliens or names we've never heard of, and they're ingesting this content 5-6 hours a day. And I think it just makes it that much harder to really understand for a lot of people, just like what's real and something's really hot in my area, or other people are paying attention to it.
Well, what about this idea that the 2020 election was stolen? You think that these companies should allow people to say that, and individuals can make up their own mind, and that there should be...
I think the American people are smart. Look, I've not said that. What I've said is there were concerns about the 2020 election. I think Americans agree with that.
No, they don't.
You don't think they think there were concerns with the 2020 election?
Most people don't question the result. That's all I'm saying. They don't question whether Biden won or not. Right? Right. Most people don't question the outcome.
Right.
Yeah, and let's just dig into some of the issues that could turn this race looking ahead in these two states. First of all, on abortion and democracy, these are the two issues where Biden has an advantage. The only two issues where Biden has an advantage in both states. Then you look at other issues, U.S. and world affairs, economy, immigration, Israel, Gaza. Trump has an advantage. And it's actually, if you look at the Israel-Gaza question, the fact that Trump has a 20-point advantage in Michigan, I mean, the world is upside down.
Upside down. It's Monday, 25 March, in the year of our Lord, 2024. We're kicking off Holy Week. What an explosive day. Quite appropriate for Holy Week, particularly with the religious, I don't know, connotations of this election, the spiritual war that we're engaged in. Want to bring in now my... head of international, the Warham's head of international from Rome. It is Ben Harnwell. Ben, I haven't had a chance to say this because I've been so jammed, so crazy. I got to give a hat tip to Lord Cornwallis, who selected that song, The World Turned Upside Down, for the pass and review of the at the day of the surrender in 1781 at Yorktown. because he realized it was such a monumental occurrence that the world was turned upside down by the defeat of the British imperial power by these kind of Englishmen, essentially, with a handful of Poles and the French that overthrew the British Empire. It's very, I think, analogous to the day. The world is turned upside down, where you've got this cadre, this movement globally that we've been a part of building, that's now starting to every day see get more self-confidence, more empowerment. They're taking things back. They're making statements. They're driving the narrative and driving the conversation. Your thoughts as you see it from, because you've got a unique perspective. People don't realize Ben was in the European Parliament, but he also knows the Tories in the English Parliament. And you know all the revolution that's going on there right now. So an extraordinary time, is it not, sir?
It is, Stephen. I think, good afternoon to you. I think the whole war room posse would agree with me here that it's basically this MAGA movement now that really represents and encapsulates within itself the very pure essence of that revolutionary spirit of 250 years ago. And it's basically simply, okay, so you change the technical battleground and the labels on the battlefield, but it's basically simply a fight for self-determination, as it has always been. You know, the sociopathic overlords might change from century to century and generation to generation, but really, this is the American aspiration, just to be able to live your life in peace, peaceably, with your neighbors, and for oppression, the tyranny of government, just to get out of your private lives. Very sadly, and this has been happening for a number of generations now, the Democrats, the left, the traditional left of the political spectrum, which didn't start off like that. Basically, the old left, just simply wanted a better deal for the ordinary laborer. It's now just turned, transmogrified into this sort of woke sludge, slurry, which is really corrupting and undermining American values. And that's why we have this political spectrum, which is so divided down the middle, because it can't even agree on the fundamentals anymore. You know, if you're talking about mathematics and arithmetic, there's no common denominator now in which you can sort of play around with these factions. There are two basically nations living in the same territory with radically different and irreconcilable views. And you have the MAGA, if I can say this is basically a Johnny foreigner peeking in through the window, but you have the MAGA movement, which is basically just ordinary people who want to get on with their lives, get the government out of their lives, and stop paying for the government intrusion, by the way, through their huge taxes. And then the other half, their friends, families, neighbors, and what have you, geographically separated perhaps to broadly the coastline positions of the United States, that want more government. They want more government intrusion into people's lives. And these positions aren't reconcilable. And this, you know, there are iterations of this battle, Steve, taking place right across the world. But in its purest form, it's taking place in the United States. And if the American experiment succeeds or fails, which is basically what this current battle is all about, that's when we're going to see the knock-on consequences across here in continental Europe, is where the people here think it's still worth fighting for a degree of freedom and liberty.
Although we're having this huge fight because we got Trump and the MAGA movement and people are awakening, but I would argue, isn't this overwhelming nature of the apparatus to suppress human freedom and human dignity, isn't it much more advanced in Europe? And this is why you hear when somebody like Orban stands up and says, no, we're not going to invade my country. We're going to keep our culture. We're going to keep our society. And he fights Soros. They completely and totally melt down. I mean, is it more advanced in Europe? And this is why you don't see a peep like what the Germans did on this mass immigration or mass migration. The Swedes didn't do anything at first. Now it's a massive battle in Sweden, yet they still don't want to talk about it. You hear about it on War Room and other sites like War Room, or people putting up clips on social media. But isn't in this fight we have in the States that we're fully engaged in, is it not actually more advanced and quite frankly losing Now you've got this populist wave in the European parliamentary elections coming up, but isn't it so far gone? And I'm talking about continental Europe. I don't even talk about England, where I think it's so far gone. It's disgraceful. Your thoughts?
I need to divide those questions into two, Steve. Firstly, look, no, I don't think it is the same. There's something of the American battle which is unique and far more advanced, I think, than what's happening here in Europe. And one of the reasons is because there is a phenomenon in America which doesn't have any sort of corollary here in Italy, or not even in Hungary, for example, or wherever the battles might provisionally be winning. And that is, in the United States, there is an engaged populace, which is as radical, if not more radical, than the political leaders that it's electing to represent it. And it's really the people themselves who are, I think this transmission, this show, has a great deal of responsibility for this reality. But you have an engaged people, an engaged participating people. Look at the if it were not for the MAGA movement in the United States, Steve, there is no way on earth that Congress would not have given the $60 billion over to Zelensky 6 months ago. It is only the repeated presence of the American people hitting the phones, hitting the switchboard, lobbying their congressmen, lobbying their senators, that there is a paralysis in the political infrastructure, which doesn't have an analog here in continental Europe. Because here, whilst you have perhaps a degree of anger, here, basically the idea is you elect your leaders, let them sort of represent you, and then come back in 5 years and see how good a job they've done. The idea of how, you know, this word that you use repeatedly on the show, of agency, there is no analog for that here in the European Union, which is why I've said sort of, this isn't the first time I will have said this on the war room, Steve, but I think America has a chance if it can get its stuff together and focus. America has a chance of making it into the next 100 years as a free country, whereas I don't know how much hope I give to continental Europe, the European Union member states, or the UK, because we simply don't have that sort of level of engaged, participating people. And that is so essential. And you can see the difference, because the mess here is more advanced, but as the opposite point, that the chances of victory in America exist, and they're significant, perhaps even the majority, if I were to put it in percentage terms. That's not the case here in continental Europe, Steve.
I want to play another cut from Morning Joe, and I would like your response. One thing before we play that cut is that gold hit an all-time high today. Remember, we do not give personal financial advice here, but we put you in touch with experts. It can't be lost on you that the couple of days after we lost the fight, and we did lose the fight for the spending, although we had the majority is on our side. That is a huge start. But still, the spending is going to go on. And it shouldn't be lost on you that right after that happens, gold hits another all-time high, breaks $2,200 an ounce. Now's the time for you to go to Birch Gold. Birchgold.com/Bannon. Make sure you go and talk to the experts. Philip Patrick and the team will answer. And they've got all kind of tax-free, tax-deferred types, all types of different instruments for you. That they can do bespoke instruments for you. But go check it out today. You need to do that. And I'll talk more about the end of the dollar empire later. I want to play. They're coming in on the first day of Holy Week, because this is a spiritual war. They're coming in as hard as I've ever seen them come in on this audience. You're nothing more than cult members. Let's go ahead and play for Morning Joe this morning.
Honey, we shrunk the GOP majority. It says conservatives have long had a strong anti-Washington impulse, which is useful given the federal government's relentless drive to expand its own power. But breaking that drive and rolling back power requires calculation and often incremental gains. All the more so in a divided government. The posers of the House GOP remind us of a comment former Senator Jim DeMint said, that he'd rather have 30 senators who agreed with him than a Republican majority. Congratulations to Mr. DeMint. The current House GOP is close to realizing this ambition. John, Republicans keep quitting. They want no part of this. The chaos continues. It gets worse. Republicans themselves are saying we've accomplished absolutely nothing this session. And now they're talking about vacating the chair again. The incompetence, the political insanity is just, again, it's just beyond. I can't imagine voters, and the Wall Street Journal editorial page agrees, I can't imagine voters and contributors aren't looking at this going, we didn't pay for this, and we're not going to vote for this or support this for two more years.
Yeah, it's the distinction, isn't it, between a political party and the way we understand them as governing elements within a constitutional structure and a cult, right? I mean, if you're going to be ideological, if you want to be so pure in your loyalty to the whims and appetites of one person who tells you what to do, and then you do it no matter what, versus a party that I think let's go ahead and just do Edmund Burke here on Monday morning. You know, a body of men united for a kind of common purpose, and what he meant was a governing purpose. And yeah, the governing purpose here is not, in many, all in all, this once noble party has become a vehicle for the appetites of one person. And yeah, it's these moderate Republicans who are just bailing. And the great question, as we've talked about forever now, is at what point does the party itself begin to put interests, right, of ideas and governing above the slavish following of one person?
Yeah, they've always been huge in ideas, neoliberal neocon. This is the group that gave you the Iraq War, gave you the Afghanistan War, $9 trillion over there. This is the governing party, Ben. This is the governing party that agreed to 2 years of unlimited spending with no caps. This is McCarthy, no caps, and no caps on deficits, and to kick it for 90 days past the 2024 election, so that people couldn't actually vote on this. This wouldn't be on the ballot right now, these deficits. The whole thing about the governing wing, that they're governing. What would Edmund Burke say about that? From Rome, does MAGA and the deplorables look like a cult to you that are totally tied to the slavish following of the appetites of one individual, sir?
No, of course not, Steve. Speaking for myself, I've never met Donald Trump. I don't expect to, but I'm quite happy to say, as a great fan of the United States, I love President Trump. I think he's the best president of America in my lifetime. But I'm in this movement because of the ideals. I'm in this movement because the American people, the MAGA component of the American people, have commissioned their leader to go out there and win battles that they cannot do by themselves. They've seen President Trump as the only person who can close the deal, in political terms, on a number of the key issues, like securing the border, sort of keeping America out of unnecessary wars, getting the budget under control. They see President Trump as the only person that they can commission to go in there and to do that. As we've used the expression before on the show, basically this is the last chance for America, for half the population of America, the last chance that America has to reform itself from the inside. So I'm in this for the ideals. I'm not in this for a person. I'm speaking for myself and all the Americans I know who equally love and respect Donald Trump say exactly the same thing. So I have detected no, in my empirical evidence, no personal experience of this being a personality cult. There is a level of feeling and emotional connection between the people of this movement, the great citizens of this movement, and their champion, their political champion that they expect to go out there and to win the battles they're trying to empower him to do. I've never seen that kind of emotional connection before, in any country that I've ever lived in. It is really sort of unique, sui generis. It's of its own type. But that doesn't make it a personality cult. It just makes the connection between the people and in this case, their elected representative so special. Of course, they don't understand that in the Democrats because there's no real loyalty in the Democrats. They have all the sentimentality of angry xenomorphs. They would chew each other to bits. And in fact, I think we're going to see that happen before November. Without even blinking, because for them it is simply about getting the job done. You know, whether you do that and how you do that, and what means you employ to do that is absolutely immaterial. That, you know, that's why I think you've expressed in the past a great deal of respect for someone like Nancy Pelosi or even Hillary Clinton, because they're going out, they're ruthlessly in pursuit of the agenda. And half the schmucks we're electing aren't even interested. That quote, for example, by Senator Jim DeMint, that really, I mean, I'm not going to trust MSNBC to give me the context of that, but that surprised me. I thought this guy was one of our guys. I thought he was a sort of a Tea Partier who went off. He left the Senate, didn't he, to go off and run the Heritage Foundation. I'd surprise he would say something so explicitly uniparty. But you know, that is the repeated disappointment, Steve, we've had in this movement.
Ben, hang on. We're going to take a short commercial break and come back. I want everybody to make sure we need you at the ramparts. The reason Ben and I are talking about your use of agency and you've changed the direction of modern history is that you've engaged. You've used your agency. You're empowered. You're a precinct strategist. You're school boards supporting Trump all over. What we don't need is to have you as a casualty. One way as a casualty is to have your title in your home taken by a cyber criminal and have a second mortgage, like a $100,000 mortgage at these rates taken out. You will be totally tied up figuring that out. How do you stop it? Home Title Lock. HomeTitleLock.com. Go immerse yourself today to make sure how you stop the bad guys through Home Title Lock. HomeTitleLock.com/Bannon. Get your free first month free. Short break. Ben Harnwell on the other side.
Are you tired of progressive corporations and exhausted trying to keep up with all the virtue signaling when you're simply trying to buy products? Progressive corporate America continues to push messaging that further alienates conservative Americans, all while eroding the future of the American dream. It's prominent all over the country. Companies like Starbucks strong-arming their customers to support abortion. Financial services like PayPal canceling customers for their political views. Makeup companies like Maybelline making a mockery of women by supporting transgender models. And beer companies like Bud Light forcing gender ideology on you when all you want is to enjoy a cold beer. Thankfully, we don't have to fund these companies any longer with our hard-earned dollars. With Public Square, we now have a solution. It's simple. Join the movement of millions of patriotic Americans who love truth, our country, and our Constitution at publicsq.com. That's publicsq.com. Public Square is an app and website where you can get connected to tens of thousands of businesses from all different industries that share your value for life, family, and freedom. Whether you're looking to buy coffee, find a new athletic clothing that knows what a woman is, and shop for clean skincare, or simply find a new restaurant in your community that won't lecture you about your political views, publicsq.com is your resource. Public Square also offers discounts to many high-quality businesses on the platform so that you can actually receive incentive for spending money with companies that don't hate you. Public Square is free to join as a consumer or a business owner, and you can get started today at publicsq.com. Remember, either as a consumer or a business owner, download the app now. That's publicsq.com, publicsq.com.
True or false? Using your tax refund to pay off credit card debt is a smart thing. Actually, that's false. DoneWithDebt.com published a brilliant strategy designed to let you keep your hard-earned tax refund and reduce or eliminate credit card debt. Most Americans owe thousands in credit card debt. In fact, Daily Mail's got a story that 56 million Americans carry credit card debt, and that debt will take years to pay off, if you pay it off at all. Done with Debt found that filing bankruptcy is usually not the answer, and taking out loans to pay off credit cards usually increases the debt. When you engage Done with Debt, their legal experts and skilled negotiators take on the credit card companies for you.
Their winning strategies are designed with one goal: solve your debt situation quickly and permanently. First things first, chat with a done with debt strategist and explore your solutions. Some debt fighting strategies are time sensitive, so you'll need to move quickly. For a free consultation, visit donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Do it today. Take action. Right now, millions of Americans face prescription medication shortages. The FDA's medication shortage list currently has over 120 prescription medications listed. Some patients are being forced into more expensive substitutes, while others are rationing what little medication they have left. Don't get caught unprepared. That's why I want you to pick up a Jace case today. The Jace case is a pack of essential antibiotics that can treat a long list of common bacterial illnesses, including UTIs, respiratory and skin infections, plus much more. And each case can be customized for your specific needs with dozens of add-on options. Just fill out a simple online form and Jace handles the rest. From the online evaluation to licensed pharmacy delivery and ongoing care, visit jacemedical.com and use code Bannon at checkout for an extra discount. That's promo code Bannon at Jace, J-A-S-E, jacemedical.com. Get the Jace case and get it today. Action, action, action.
More than just beautiful dance, it's a touch of the divine. More than just legends, it's the beautiful culture and wisdom of China before communism. More than just a performance, it's an experience that awakens the soul. See it at least once in your lifetime. Shen Yun, an all-new production every year.
I can't recommend going to see a cultural event more than this. Shen Yun, go to shenyun.com, and here's why. What the Marxists are trying to do in our country, what they're doing in, or the neo-Marxists in Europe, is they're trying to destroy traditional values. They're trying to destroy traditional structures, our traditional culture, the family. If you see today what China has become, and you compare that to what China once was, particularly culturally, you're absolutely stunned. And what the Shen Yun team has done is gone back to classical Chinese civilization, the dancing, the costumes, just all of it. It's absolutely breathtaking. And this is where you're seeing Lao Baijing at its finest. Remember, there's no higher priority against our mortal enemies, the Chinese Communist Party, than their overthrow by having Lao Baijing's back. And once you see Shen Yun, you'll see what they're fighting for. They're fighting for their traditional culture. And it's quite extraordinary. If you understand the Cultural Revolution, this is what it was to destroy. That's why we're going through a Cultural Revolution here, and that's why you're going through a Cultural Revolution in Europe, because they know they need to destroy, just like the French Revolution, they need to destroy the family, they need to destroy the traditional family, they need to destroy the traditions of society. Mao called it, got to get rid of the four olds, right? Got to destroy that. Well, Shen Yun, and go to shenyun.com. You'll just have an extraordinary, breathtaking evening. They're going throughout the entire country, so they're going to come to a theater near you. Ben, I want to take a second, and with everything that went on today and us being called a juggernaut and all this, the shards, is because this is about fighting. This is about not giving up. You saw President Trump today in New York City, and it's quite, to me, amazing that we start Holy Week with President Trump being brought up before the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the, you know, Caiaphas and the judges, right? In this phony trial, both to strip his property like a Moscow show trial, but also this, I don't know, this Stormy Daniels, whatever this thing is, which is another phony trial. In your case, Peter Navarro's in prison, right? Peter Navarro's in prison for standing up to Nancy Pelosi, and which was a phony committee that didn't have a ranking member. It didn't have a minority counsel. This is why there was no cross-examination. This is why so many people perjured themselves, and you see that with evidence that's coming out. And also, I want to make sure people know that you're in the same way, and this is what's happening. If you stand up against the apparatus, they are going to come after you. And the two things they're going to try to do is use the law to try to come after you. And if they can figure out criminally, remember, Peter Navarro was about not answering a subpoena to Congress, which, if this happens, even gets illegal, in the history of the country, it's always done civilly. I think Peter, I think it's been done one time criminally and it got dropped immediately. And then there's two people that have come up to criminally, Peter Navarro and myself. And we both make, although my argument's a little, I would think, more in depth than Peter's. He makes generally directionally the same argument. One is about this committee. But in your case, the same way. And what they're trying to do is use the law to try to shift it criminally. This is why Trump is today 700 years in prison. And for people who don't think that they don't want him to die in prison, you are wrong. They want to see him imprisoned. They want to see him die in prison. Just go to Twitter and read the feed over there or listen to the Keith Obermans of the world or even the Morning Joes. They want him in prison. The other is to bankrupt him. And this is why I keep telling people, like with Home Title Lock and others, we need you at the ramparts. We need you as a cutting edge, as a cadre. That's why MAGA, this empowerment in this agency, has done so much. But all, they're going to try to, whether it's credit card debt or back taxes or whatever they can do to distract you and take your time and resources, they're trying to bankrupt you. This is what they tried to do to you personally, both to bankrupt you, to drag it out for years and suck up legal fees, but also to bankrupt you personally and to put you in prison. One of the reasons I'm so proud of you, you had a prison term you were looking at, and at any time we could have you could have weaseled around and tried to cut some deal, and you go, no way, we didn't do anything wrong. By the way, I want that monastery. I think it'd be a great headquarters for the Academy of the Judeo-Christian West. I think it would fit in perfectly. But you also said, I never did anything wrong. In fact, I did everything by the book, and I'm not going to sit here and let them have even a optical, performative media victory. Your words of as we start Holy Week to this audience, as we look at the persecution and death, execution of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, and draw it out to what's going on today between the MAGA movement on a worldwide basis.
Steve, well, yeah, I mean, it is a calendar, isn't it? For the whole of our movement right across the world. You know, coming back to what you were saying, I would be in prison. Up until, 7th of March, right, 2 weeks ago, up until before the judge retreated into her chamber to consider her verdict, the last words said by the state prosecution was that they said themselves that they asked the judge to acquit me totally on the charges of having participated in the public tender fraudulently. They said they took on that case because of statements that had been made publicly, but it was absolutely clear that I hadn't done any such thing. But they did want me to spend a year in prison for a non-fulfillment of a lease in a public service, which is running the monastery, which is a big crime in Italy. So up until that moment, I was potentially looking at one year in prison, which is more, I think, than what's on the table for either you or Dr. Navarro, significantly. So that was the reality. I was quite confident, Steve, for myself, because my own personal conduct in going to obtain the lease in the tender process, and also in looking after the monastery itself, it was immaculate. It wasn't just exemplary; it was immaculate. There was literally nothing that they could get hook their little fingers in order to suggest I had done anything wrong. It was absolutely immaculate. But if it hadn't been for you, Steve, and if it hadn't been for this show, I would be in prison. I mean, I was one of the most popular guys I knew in conservative circles when you were sort of riding high at the height of your powers. Everyone was phoning me. They wanted to be my friends just because I was associated with you in the press. This is pre-war room. The day I was charged, I literally became, from the guy everyone wanted at their reception parties, I had nobody around me. I was absolutely abandoned, absolutely. You never did, Steve. And you gave me the support I needed. And that was the reason, both because my personal conduct was immaculate and you had constantly stood by me. And I had no idea what you were thinking as you were seeing all these newspaper articles coming out from Italy, which were horrific, I have to say. That's for my own case. That's why I'm still on my legs. I had no intention of signing any kind of a plea deal because it wouldn't have been representing the truth. You know, I'm happy, Steve, because of this, because I now have some battle scars of my own, having gone up against the system. As Friedrich Nietzsche said, that which doesn't kill you makes you stronger. It was either Nietzsche or Conan the Barbarian. I will let the woman posse decide which. Four tough years, fine. You know, go to university in 4 years, get a degree. I've got the battle scars of having taken on the corrupt system and three court cases. And I am literally stronger for it. I can now preach the gospel of resistance, having been through it myself.
And the gospel of resilience. The Costco's resilient. Tell people, I want to make sure when we talk about the deep state and the administrative state, and particularly it's quite advanced in Europe. And the United States took the model from MI5, MI6, and how the British roll. People should know we've emulated much. Our founders looked to the Roman Republic, the current, particularly from around World War II, we really looked to the British Empire for a lot of the how to run things, how to deal with things. How all-encompassing when in a country like Italy, which we think is, you know, one of the more advanced countries in the West, when the apparatus comes after you, how all-encompassing is it?
No, Steve, the thing, I mean, we've seen the glimmers of this in the American context, right? And President Trump has had a few judicial cases where there haven't been juries. I'm astonished at that. I mean, in the Anglo-American tradition, I'm absolutely astonished that you can have court cases without sitting juries. I thought we sort of wrapped that kind of thing up at Magna Carta, sort of how many years ago? 800 years ago. In Italy, it's common. It is by far 99% of court cases have no juries. I've been through three major trials now. I've never seen a jury. There's never been a jury in any of my court cases. I think you probably get a jury for like the major murder trials, but that's it. Criminal cases, civil cases, financial cases, they don't have juries. And that basically means that the judiciary is a lot more pliable towards the political pressure, because it's part of the mentality, part of the planning that government knows that it can put its. No, it has a good chance of putting its thumb on the scale because it doesn't even have to take into consideration. You don't have like anyone who's seen like LA Law or the lawyer shows on US TV. You know, you always had the state prosecutor sort of saying, you know, what he thinks he's going to be able to get a jury to accept. That isn't part of the calculation here in Italy, Steve. There's no. It's just like we go after them. Because there's going to be no jury. That's not even part of the consideration. It's, you know, how much can we put our thumb on the scale here? How much can we get a preordained verdict? And the culture and the country, they pay the consequences of centuries of this. Whereas in the Anglo-American tradition, there is at least the defence against injustice of having, was it, 11... jurymen, your peers, 11 men and true, what have you. So that is part of the consideration of government. Does it? It's not here. That is something I will never, ever, I'm so energized on this point. Juries, in order for due process and equality before the law and the presumption of innocence, right, you absolutely need to factor in into your mental calculations the presence of a jury. Those things are so essential. Of course, now you might say that in New York, what hope might Donald Trump have in New York with a jury? That's a fair enough consideration. But it is the you know, and there is a movement in both the UK and the United States to sort of to wean away juries because, you know, for the complicated cases, do people really understand what's going on? Absolutely not. Absolutely never. They're too important. It's the ultimate safeguard that we have against the tyranny of the state. And you see the difference. That's the difference, why you have Italy and America.
Yeah. That you see this week, we commemorate a trial that didn't have a jury also of Jesus Christ. Drudge had the Mac Daddy the other day that had the current Pope, quote unquote, under a ton of pressure. Yeah, if Denver could put it up. The Mac Daddy was that he was under incredible pressure and that things were going the wrong way. What do you take this? Why is this surfacing now?
It was funny, that was from yesterday. That was from Palm Sunday itself. And I think, you know, on your Getter feed, you had the right approach to the right analysis on this. That is a rebellion now, and resistance is starting to arise against the fake pontificate of Pope Francis. I think more and more people are realizing that there's something catastrophically illegitimate in his misrule over the Catholic Church, and they're finding their courage to resist that, and God bless them for doing so.
Is that much more advanced in the United States, this resistance that comes from the priests that won't comply, that they're getting rid of some of the best young priests out there? Of course, Bishop Strickland down in Texas. Is that much more advanced in the United States as a resistance or the beginning of a schism or a rebellion? Where do we stand in Europe?
Yeah, it is. And it comes back to the point I was making before. Americans don't have the feudal mentality, the feudal temperament of being serfs, lorded over by barons or bishops who rule in the name of God. Americans don't have that, and I think they're stronger for it. You know, it had its purpose. It has its benefits. You know, if you're a medieval society and you basically have no presence of the state anywhere other than that, and you're just basically filthy, unwashed, then some kind of degree of order on a top-down basis is useful. It holds things together. It allows people to have basic property rights and what have you. But it is a limiting consideration. You see the fact that the whole of Europe now is atrophied and sclerotic. And one of the reasons is that we've never ditched that attitude, whereas Americans ditched it. They threw that yoke off 250 years ago, and it doesn't fit well. Americans like to do things for themselves. They don't like being told what to do, if it's by a bishop or a priest or a king. The concept is alien to Americans. And I wish it were. So I think here in continental Europe, we would have a lot to learn from these events of 250 years ago, because we never really had the concepts like the Boston Tea Party, for example. You know, the best revolutions that we've had here in continental Europe are to get rid of one pack of criminals and just replace them with another pack of criminals and then just carry on as if nothing changed. That wasn't the American experience of revolution, wasn't the purpose of the American Revolution. And we lack that here.
Ben, words of wisdom, as always, from a true warrior. How do people get to your social media? We got a lot more to discuss this Holy Week. Look forward to having you back on the morning in the afternoon show. Where do people go to get all your? You get better engagement. People should know. I'm incredibly jealous. Ben's engagement on Getter is insane, and it's because of these really great pieces you write before you get down to hook up with the. With the articles that you're going to put forward. So it's quite brilliant. Where do people go to get it?
Well, it's very kind of you, Steve. Getter, my social media platform of choice. I only really post on Getter. Find it, download the app or download it on your browser, getter.com. Just tap in my surname, at Harnwell, and my great posts are all there. I've got some fantastic ones at the top of the feed right now. Thanks, Steve.
They're incredible. Ben, thanks. Thanks for staying up late with us.
Thank you. God bless.
Lou Dobbs is going to follow us here. We're kicking off Holy Week. We're going to have a bunch of specials and do a lot of different stuff when we get to, Holy Thursday and Good Friday and Holy Saturday and, of course, Easter Sunday. So we got a lot planned for everyone. We're going to be broadcasting through the entire holiday or this commemoration weekend, of course. Holy Thursday, and then you have the solemnity of Good Friday. We always do our special on Holy Saturday, Descent into Hell, about Jesus Christ descending into hell, so we'll do that. Hopefully I'm going to work out to get Poso back on for that and maybe some other folks. And then we'll do some classic replays on Holy Saturday or on Easter Sunday. So a lot going on this week. Lou Dobbs is next. We'll be back at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. When I played Shen Yan to open up this segment, talk about classical culture. Remember, this fight here is by the neo-Marxists, and they very much have taken the Cultural Revolution in China as a as really a touchstone for what they're trying to do here. And that's why I'd love for you to go see Sun Yen over at sunyen.com. But also to remember, the Chinese Communist Party, they're absolutely totally lethal. One thing they've done, and they're brilliant, they're strategically quite brilliant. One of the things they've done is they've controlled the supply chain. You're going to hear Biden talk a lot about supply chains here over the next couple of weeks and all this thing they're going to do to move supply chains for industrial manufacturing. One thing the Chinese Communist Party has, and this was brought up by Rosemary Gibson, is that they have controlled 100% of the manufacturing supply chains for active pharmaceutical ingredients, API. And that goes into all the generic drugs. So in 80% of the generic drugs are controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. The 20% that's not as made in any other places, they still control the API. This is how they can choke down at any time. And this is not even dealing with the cyber, what's going on with the shutting down of United Health, part of it, pharmacies. My point, to stay a cadre, to stay on the ramparts, you can't have these distractions, particularly something like your medicine. You need it. That's why they go to JaceMedical.com. The reason we love Dr. Sean and the folks, they took something we brought up years ago at the beginning of the pandemic as a major choke point. It's something could be used, and the Chinese Communist Party knew this, and they used their agency to build a company around it. So go to JaceMedical.com. You go to promo code Bannon over there. You also get a discount. But go to JaceMedical.com. Do it today. Just immerse yourself in the information they've got about the site and they've got about their service to make sure that you can get all your medicines. You can get them preloaded. You can get them up in advance. You don't have to get worried about getting caught. Okay, I want to thank Ben Harnwell. Lou Dobbs is next. I want to make sure everybody reads this article, if Grace and Mo can share it, from Axios Today. Talks about the rise of alternative media, particularly talks about Charlie Kirk and Jack Posobiec, Laura Loomer, Alex Berchowitz. Hopefully he'll run for Congress here shortly. Talks about the war room being the juggernaut, Don Jr., Tucker, what we've built here at Real America's Voice, what Mike Lindell has built at Lindell TV. To provide a service to you, the most powerful political movement in the world, and I think actually the most powerful political movement ever developed in the United States of America. That would be the MAGA movement and our leader, Donald J. Trump. Lou Dobbs is next. We're back here in the war room in the juggernaut tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. We'll see you then. Tax Network USA is pure war room for solving your IRS tax problems. If you owe back taxes, COVID was your lucky break. Tax court shut down, the IRS paused, and you skated. Well, baby, that party is over. The IRS is adding 20,000 enforcement agents, basically tax cops. Honest, hardworking Americans like you are in the crosshairs. Rich people have tax lawyers, and you don't. You'll pay up, plus interest and penalties. Tax USA Network has brilliant war room type strategies designed to solve your IRS problem quickly in your favor. Never call the IRS yourself. You're at their mercy. You could sit on hold for 6 to 8 hours and get hung up on. Grind you for all your back taxes plus interest and penalties. Tax Network USA attorneys have a preferred direct line to the IRS. They know which agents to talk to and who to avoid. If they get difficult agent, hey, they just call a different agent. Tax Network USA learned of a limited time special IRS offer. The IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Schedule your free confidential consultation with Tax Network USA. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. Think about that. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. They offer a best-in-class client satisfaction guarantee. Now call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000. And visit Tax Network USA. That's TNUSA.com/Bannon. TNUSA.com/Bannon. Make sure you take action on this today. This IRS grind is only going to get much worse.
That's code WARROOM at checkout to save 67%. Do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there, do it today, check it out.